All right. Let's practice, you know. Let's practice in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So today we're going to do a review of the last 3 days, our consecration message. That's right. You know, I think it was an appropriate consecration message, more so than, you know, prayer points and different things, you know, just to understand, you know, where we are in the Lord and come into His presence, bask in His glory, walk in His glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we all come together again for fellowship. We give you the praise, Lord, for this understanding and this realization that we are in your presence, and to walk in you, walk in your presence, walk in your glory. Hallelujah. Your presence, Lord, is heaven. Heaven to me. And I get into your presence, that's like being in heaven. Father, we thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. Fellowship with us, Lord, this morning. Holy Spirit, share and drop inspiration in our hearts, Lord. Receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I trust that you received a blessing from our consecration weekend. And I want to hear about it today. We want you to have an opportunity to give your own review of what the Lord has spoken to your heart and how it's helping you. I tell you, you know, it's a great thing. You know, I went for, you know, a quick walk yesterday evening, and I was just, you know, imagining myself in His presence a little bit different. You know, most of the time when I go for a walk, I'm trying to pray and doing this and so forth. Yesterday I went going for a walk, you know, I said, well, you know, this time around, let me just walk in His glory, walk in His presence, you know, and, prayer points that came, you know, I just threw them away. Praise the Lord. You know, there's no prayer point in His presence. No prayer point, you know, I mean, 100 prayer points. What are you going to do when you're in the presence of the Lord? You're going to still be asking for this and that. So this is what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us. You come into His presence, there is no prayer point. Don't worry about that stuff. Praise the Lord. Don't worry about that. Just concentrate on Him and worship Him and just gaze on Him. And if you can see Him in the Spirit and see some attribute of Him, well, maybe you see Him in His regalia. Maybe you see Him in His glory. Maybe you see Him in a fire enfolding itself. Maybe you see some wheels within a wheel turning. Maybe you see, you know, I don't know what you'll see. Maybe you will just see His love. Hallelujah. Feel His love. Feel His compassion. And anything that we can see and adore in Him, that's what we can become. You know, right now we can't, you know, there's many aspects of Him. Some of us think of God, you know, as this thing or that thing. Well, that's all He has revealed to you. He hasn't revealed everything yet. You know, He can reveal more and more. You may see God as a loving, compassionate God. And yes, He's that too. And you can see Him as other things as well. He's a lot of things, you know, just depends on what He can reveal to you. And the Lord can take on different dimensions. Hallelujah. He has a dimension of mercy and graciousness and compassion, abundant in goodness and truth. He has that dimension. And He can reveal Himself to us like that. He said, look, when we, you know, enjoy the goodness of the Lord, we don't have to deal with His severity. You know, and the Lord is good unto us like that. His mercy is everlasting. But make no mistake, His eyes can be the eyes of fire too. And He can come, you know, in a different way as well. You know, Because our God can also be a consuming fire. He can be anything. You know, so, you know, and, you know, we don't want to leave people the impression that, you know, God cannot be angry, or he can just, you know, all he has to do is just smoosh us over all the time. Sometimes he does that most of the time, but I guarantee you right now, God is angry with his church. I'll tell you that right now. The Lord is angry, you know, because the church is not worshiping him. A church is preaching something that Jesus doesn't want. And they are just, you know, we're just doing whatever we like. You know, you say God is angry with the church? Well, absolutely. You know, one time Jesus was angry and he took the whip, went into the, you know, synagogue, overturned everything, whipped them out of there, you know, and, you say, well, you know, can God be angry? Absolutely. There was a time in the book of Ezekiel chapter 9, God was angry, angry with the people, you know, because they were just carrying on, you know, in the ways of the world. And he sent forth, he said, look, I need to clean house and let it begin, you know, I got to clean up this mess. And let it begin at my house. Why am I saying that this morning? I don't know. I didn't even intend to say that. But maybe that's what God wants me to say. You know, so I'll just let him say it. You know, there were some people that were sighing over the abominations of the land. God was, you know, pleased with those people. But there were some other people, you know, in a state of apathy. They didn't care. They didn't care what's going on around them. Didn't care whether their souls were dying. They didn't care whether there was unrighteousness. It didn't bother them at all. You know, well, you know, they were not praying for the souls of men and things like that. And they were carrying on, living a life that was not pleasing to God. And God came through there, you know, and he said, look, go through the city and mark all the ones that are sighing, praying over the abomination of the people. And then go after that and have a slaughter weapon in your hand and kill everybody that doesn't have the mark. But let it begin at my sanctuary. Let me read that to you in Ezekiel chapter 9. You know, and it says, and the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub where he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's ink on by his side. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh, and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. And that's a scary proposition. But the people that have this mark, there's a different mark now too. There is a mark of the glory of God that's upon those who are spending time in his presence. Hallelujah. They've accessed, they know how to access the glory and presence of God, you know, and God set a mark upon them. But the anger and judgment of God be upon everybody else, you know, so while we're worshiping and praising the Lord and thanking him, let's remember also, you know, that our God is a consuming fire. He consumes our enemies, but he also hates sin, you know, so, and this is the thing that God must deal with in our lives. According to Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 29, you know, Let me read it from verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. It's a God of love, but it can also be a God of consuming fire. He can do anything he wants, you know. And when you see him in his attribute of mercy, then rejoice, because then you are a vessel of mercy, you know. And but other times, you know, God can be angry. Jesus can be angry too. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, you know, maybe you've never heard the Lord talk about this, but he did. And this is in the New Testament. This is not the Old Testament, because somebody say, oh, well, maybe that's the Old Testament. No. You know, the old and new, it's the same, you know. He was talking to, you know, this church in Thyatira, you know, and it says this. Let me read it to you, you know, from Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. That's right. Who has his eyes like a flame of fire. You know, when he comes in that flame of fire, boy, he's not messing around. And his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works. You know, charity, service, and faith, and so forth. You know, it's good. Thy patience and thy works. And some of them really good. And the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding. See, I have a few things against you. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. That's the Jezebel spirit too. You know, which calleth herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Well, ye also suffer all these false apostles and false prophets, you know, that teach my children ways of the world. And cause their hearts to be drawn away from me to things that profit not. He said, two evils I've seen upon my children, Jeremiah 2 and 13. They are forsaking me, the fountain of living waters, and gone a-whoring after their prophets, after their apostles, you know, and they've hewn to themselves cisterns that can hold no water, you know, and the Lord said, look, I'm against you because you suffer these people to do these things. He said, well, you know, I gave her space to repent. And God has given some of these people space to repent, but they did not repent. I say she repented not. Behold, now listen to the angry voice and listen to the voice of fire. You know, you think Jesus cannot speak like this? Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and then I commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. That's right. That's Jesus speaking. You know, kill her children with death. You know, all the organizations and so forth, you know, and all the dead works and dead things, and all the people that amass, you know, honor to themselves instead of giving glory to God, you know, all the things, you know, God said, look, I'll kill them. You know, God is going, there's something new that the Lord is doing, ladies and gentlemen. And say, let it begin at my house. Let there be a cleansing. I'll cast that all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and hearts. Woo-hoo. We need that again, Lord. We need that again. Said, Jesus said, behold, you know, I build my church, you know, and he said, look, my fan is in my hand, and I will thoroughly, you know, I'm going to fan my floor, sift it thoroughly. He's going to do it. It's happening again. It's coming. Praise God. You know, but those of us who understand his love and presence, come on in. There's a place that's called an ark of safety. Yeah, it's a place. There is a place. Psalm 91 describes that place. He calls it the secret place. It's a secret place in His presence. Come on in there every day. Hallelujah. Isaiah said, Lord, hide me. Let me go into, you know, Thy presence so that You can hide me until the indignation be overpassed. Well, there is coming something, ladies and gentlemen, you know, and we must be in His presence in order to escape. Jesus said, pray ye that you may be counted worthy to escape, be in His presence, stand in the presence of the Son of Man. That's right. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come, ye my people. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 21. The Lord is inviting us to come. But at the same time, there is a serious warning, you know, for those that will not make amend to their ways. Come, the Lord said, you know, and enter in. Praise God. So, you know, this is the thing that the Lord is doing. Come, my people. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 20. Enter thou to the chambers. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself as you are for a moment. Get into that closet with the Lord, you know, until the fury of the Lord be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth shall disclose her blood, you know, shall no more cover her stain. This is coming, Lord. I mean, the Lord said, we're at the end of the age. You know, how can we hide ourselves? Well, come on into the ark of safety. Come on into that place. You know, there is a place which no fowl knoweth. It's a secret place with the Lord. Come on in there and praising the Lord every day and repeating His word. That's a place, a secret place with Him. And gazing upon Him, praise the Lord. But when we are in such a place, the Lord begins to reveal Himself to us more and more. So the last 3 days, I never planned to say any of these things that I've said for the last 10 minutes. I had no intention whatsoever. I was just going to come and talk about the things we talked about the last 3 days. But, you know, the Holy Spirit said it for a reason. You know, so let's take heed. Now, things we've said for the last 3 days, being about, you know, us walking in His presence, understanding how God brings heaven and earth together in us. And some of the things we said, like, you know, we were made in heaven, assembled upon the earth to be in heaven while we are on the earth. That was Jesus, was in heaven at the same time that He was in earth. We talked about that out of John 3, you know, and 13. Then we talk about, well, as Jesus is, so are we. So we can actually be the same. And there are many things in the scriptures that tie heaven and earth together. And one of the things we tried to speak about in this series was to get away from this big, you know, dichotomy between heaven and earth. You know, and Jesus brought it all together. Adam had it together, and Jesus brought it all together. You know, we can be in heaven and the earth at the same time. When you get into His presence and you stay there, that's heaven. And you can hear Him closer, more and more, when we are in that presence. And so we talk about many of these things. You have to go back and listen to each of those replays to hear what the Lord said. And even in bringing forth righteousness, heaven and earth must walk together. Isaiah 45 verse 8 talks about, you know, heavens dropping down, earth opening up, walking together. That's right. The things of God that are in heaven, we who are here in earth, we understand it. We are, you know, we can communicate the same thing. You know, this is what the Lord is saying at this time. The word of God that is in our mouth, Romans chapter 10 says, well, you don't need to go to heaven to bring Jesus down. You don't need to look for Him in the grave. So, you know, it's right inside of you. The word is in your mouth. Glory to God. Praise God. So, you know, these are some of the lessons. And let's talk about briefly how God has quickened us now and made us to sit together in Christ in heavenly places. He has already done that now, not later. We talked about that yesterday. And so when you put all of these things together, we find out that we must learn to grow in his knowledge. Growing, growing, and growing. Now, what is the difference between the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place? You know, we talked about some of those things. But majority of the people are in the outer court. Outer court experience, that's all we have. You know, people are just followers. And not real disciples, but they are just followers. There's a lot of them. Just follow the crowd, go to church on Sunday, come to these rooms, and so forth. Like the sound of it, it's good, you know. But will we really tend our hearts to the Lord? I pray yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you know, some people make their way into the holy place. They've got the Holy Spirit, menorah. They've got the, you know, different things. Begin to understand the word of God better. But, you know, they still have to deal with the need consciousness. So I said, you know, that in the holy place, God meets your needs. Because you got a lot of needs. The Holy Spirit will help you pray and so forth. But our biggest need is to kill that flesh. And if we don't recognize that, we'll be stuck in the circle of, Lord, do this, Lord, do that, Father, give me this, Father, give me that. We'll be stuck there, you know. But in the most holy place, God wants to meet with you. In the other place, he meets your need. Here, he wants to meet with you. He said that himself. Exodus 25, verses 21 to 22. Talked about the ark and the mercy seat, and that I will meet with you there. That's what he wants, in that place. There's one needful thing when we are in his presence. Prayer points must be dropped. You know, just leave those prayer points. In his presence, there's one needful thing. Jesus said that about Martha and Mary. Martha was running about. Mary was sitting down. Martha wanted Jesus to tell Mary to get up and help her do the things that she was doing. And Jesus said, no. She has chosen the one thing that is needful. And we're not going to take that away from her. So when you are in his presence, there's only one needful thing. There's no, you know, let's forget about all those prayer points. And do you know that all those prayer points, God can actually, you know, do those quicker when we focus on him. Jesus said himself, seek ye first kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these other things will be added. I'm praying that the Lord will show you a token of this understanding. And when you come into his presence and just forget those prayer points, then see what the Lord will do for you. Try it. I pray the Lord will show it to you. Praise God. Now, you know, the Lord wants us to engage his presence, engage in his glory. Jesus said it himself. He said, the glory I had with you from the beginning, Father, I have given unto them. Hallelujah. Whereas in the past, in Isaiah 42 verse 8, God said, I will not give my glory to anyone, nor share my praise with graven images. Well, in Christ, all of that changed. Praise God. Jesus said now, you know, in John 17 and 22, the glory that I had with you from the beginning, I have given it unto them. Isn't that beautiful? Now, so we have that glory. You know, let's access that glory and walk in it. Praise God. You know, so a quick review. How do you do a 10 or 15 minute review of something you spoke on for hours and hours and hours over 3 days? Well, you know, it's just a quick review. But I'm going to leave it here so that others can share their thoughts on this series. Praise the Lord. And your experience, maybe since we started, you mean experiencing something. Well, remember, don't let it be just a one-time encounter. And let us be reminded that we need to flow in this thing. It's not just, you know, tap into it where once in a while. Let's flow in it. That's what the Lord wants us, where He wants us. Praise the Lord. And good morning and good afternoon again, everybody. I'm going to yield my mic here. Let's hear your thoughts and your shares and your reviews of the series which we have been dealing with, dwelling in His presence and walking in the light of His glory, God's glory. Dwelling in God's presence, walking in His glory. Let's talk about it. Praise the Lord.